state of crisis, in a state of brokenness. And I think this gets to the core of the problem. The rich young man and the disciples all wanted Jesus to address problems outside of themselves. And they felt this with the idea that they were somehow not a part of the problem, or that there was something in themselves that was good and able to benefit Jesus and his mission. On the other hand, if you look at the children from a few verses earlier, or if you look at the sick, if you look at those who had demons, if you look at those who could not take care of themselves, if you look at the blind beggar in our own story this morning, all needed Jesus to address problems in them, and they felt this need from a position of weakness and inability to fix it. Does everybody see that? The people were missing it. It was the misguided, misdirected hope. Let's look at the simple faith of our beggar this morning. So Bartimaeus, like the simplicity, like he knew he was in a bad place. He knew he was helpless, and he knew Jesus could fix it. Do you guys see how simple that is? He knew he was in a bad place. Here he's just identified as a blind beggar, not just blind, but a blind beggar. And it would be pretty normal for someone with that kind of disability in the first century to beg. There's no welfare system. The Jewish synagogue structures had failed to do their job in caring for people like this. So they were often left to beg. He would have been seen as a burden on society, a burden on his family. He would have been left out to beg, to ask for, and to depend on other people to give him money and food. This is just kind of an always existent problem that you just had to ignore as a part of the society. And this is why he was treated the way that he was. He was off to the side. Everyone shuffled around him so that he couldn't get to Jesus. He was the least important person. Jesus is on a mission. You stay out of the way. He knew he was in a bad spot. He also knew he was helpless. He was totally at the mercy of others. He could not work, so he had to beg. He could not fix his eyesight. He could not take advantage of social services of any kind for like any kind of independence. He was completely and totally helpless and dependent on the people around him. He knew he was in a bad place. He knew he was hopeless, but he knew Jesus could help. You see that this morning? When we have Bartimaeus calling Jesus the Son of David, what we're seeing is someone insisting on Jesus being the Messiah. He had obviously inquired about who it was that was passing by, and when they told him that it was Jesus, he thought of all the stories of Jesus that he had heard, how he had healed and cast out demons, and perhaps most importantly, how he had made the blind see. That's going to make your ears perk up if you're blind, right? And he was a Jew, so he'd have grown up hearing things like Isaiah 11, verse 4, where it says, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." So this is one who's going to take over. He's going to overthrow the oppressors. And not in a twisted, like when you guys listen to the Democrats talk about how they want to take care of it, how they're the party of compassion, you guys know that's a total load, right? You just know they don't care about anybody. Isaiah, there's someone coming who really cares. He's going to strike the oppressors. He's going to uplift those who are in poverty. Or Isaiah 35, 5, where it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." What? I'm blind. Jesus of Nazareth is coming through. He knew he was in a place of brokenness. He knew he was helpless. And he knew that Jesus could help. Do you see how simple it is? How simple this man's faith is. He is totally dependent. He is totally helpless. Cannot do anything for himself. But he knows Jesus, the Son of David, can help. So who do we want to be like? Who do we want to be like in this story this morning? We must be like the beggar. We must be like Bartimaeus. And we must be like Bartimaeus in our action, in our faith, and in our legacy. So this is what I want you to take away this morning. This is your application. I know we're getting there early. Hang on. We must be like Bartimaeus, the beggar, in our action, in our faith, and in our legacy. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at his action. What does Bartimaeus do when Jesus comes through? He calls out. He cries out. He begs for mercy. He pleads with Jesus to have mercy. He pleads with the Messiah, the King, the Son of David, to have mercy. Then he springs up. You guys see that? Just so you guys know, this is not a common term in the Bible. He sprang up. So I coach land training, and when I have the kids do burpees, sometimes they hit the ground and they just stay there for a long time. This is not what's happening here. He gets up quick. Springs up. No caution. This is a blind man, and yet he is throwing caution to the wind, springing up. He threw off his cloak. Now, think about the cloak for a second. For this man, it would have been his source of warmth, a security. He would have had it wrapped around him. And then when he was sat in a place to beg, he would have put it on top of his legs. And then there would have been some out in front of him for people to lay alms and money. Did that money mean anything to him right now when Jesus is coming through? He throws the cloak off of him. And everything that's on the cloak goes with the cloak. And Bartimaeus gets himself to Jesus. No caution. He calls him Son of David and Rabbi. Son of David, we've already talked about that. Messiah, the Christ. The one who will establish David's throne for eternity. Rabbi, which means teacher or master. I trust you. You have all authority. My life is yours. A total acknowledgement of Jesus' position. He's the Messiah. He's the coming King. He's the one who is wise, the one who can heal. He's the one who can care for the poor and the oppressed. He asked honestly, right? According to his felt need. I want to drive that point home because I've pushed you guys theologically. And I hope that when I ask a question like, what is man's ultimate need, you will answer it well, which is to be reconciled with God, to be saved from their sin, to believe the gospel, to be reconciled with God. That's the ultimate need of man. And yet, notice that blind Bartimaeus does not come up to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, who art God incarnate, co-equal with God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, I am but a lowly sinner seeking justification by grace through faith." It's not what he says. He says, "I want to see." He answers honestly, according to his felt need. And then he follows Jesus. Look at the difference between Jesus' interaction with this man here and the rich young ruler. Just a few verses back, the rich young ruler says, he comes up to Jesus, says, "What must I do?" Jesus says, "Sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me." And he exposes the heart of the young man, and he goes away because he loved his possessions more than he loved Jesus. And yet, in our story this morning, Jesus tells the healed blind beggar to go his own way. And what does the healed blind beggar do? He follows Jesus on the way. And when the Gospel of Mark says the way, he's talking about the way to the cross. He's talking about taking up his own cross and following Jesus. And that is what this beggar did. We want to be like Bartimaeus in our action. Spring up, cry out to Jesus, tell him what you need, follow him. He is good. But we must also be like Bartimaeus in our faith. In our faith. One time I was sharing the gospel with a coworker, and we were talking about, he was kind of asking about like why do Christians have these rules and things, and I was like, well, Christianity is not about, like, being a Christian is not about what you don't do. And he was like, yeah, it's about what you do. And I was like, no, it's not what you do, it's about what you believe. So when we talk about being like Bartimaeus in our action, praise the Lord, but it's more important that we are like Bartimaeus in our faith. Look at our scripture this morning. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. So now it's important that we clarify, this is not in the sense of like a prosperity gospel, name it and claim it. Only if you have enough faith will you be made well. And if you're sick or if you're suffering, or if you don't have enough money, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's not true. We're not proclaiming that this morning. We need to remember the story in the context of all the other stories leading up to this one. The blind man at Bethsaida, remember, healed slowly through Jesus' actions to show the disciples were missing a lot and that they were slowly gaining sight and insight into the mission of Jesus. Do you guys see? That's what happened with the blind man at Bethsaida. This is true. Remembering how many times the disciples were fighting among themselves for authority while Jesus is teaching them to be like children, to be like servants and slaves, to put themselves last. Remember that Jesus is telling them that he will suffer and die and become servant of all, and that they must be like him. They must take up their own cross and follow him. But they keep missing it. They're fighting for a glory that they don't understand. They're striving to have their ability and goodness recognized and rewarded. Think about the rich young ruler. He was bringing to Jesus all of his qualifications. Look how I've obeyed the law since I was a youth. Look how he was good and fit for a rising political campaign that Jesus could lead against the Romans. He was showing Jesus his own abilities and why he was a good fit. But Bartimaeus, just like the children at the beginning of chapter 10, he's totally dependent on others. He believes, like they do, that he will only find care outside of himself. He cannot care for himself. He needs Jesus. The faith that makes Bartimaeus well is the knowledge that he can't do anything for himself. But Jesus can. And this is the center of the gospel. This is the very middle of the gospel. Your faith has made you well. So we must throw ourselves at the mercy of Christ. And I want you to see, I think it's really important that you understand that when Jesus looks to Bartimaeus and he says, your faith has made you well. The phrase has made you well is the same words used to describe someone being saved. So for instance, if you were to look in Mark chapter 10, verse 26, where the disciples freaking out, they turn to Jesus and say, who can be saved? That word saved is the same word used here, made well. They're asking, who can be made well? Who can be saved? And here, Jesus is saying, your faith has made you well. It's the same word as your faith has saved you. It's the same word that we have in Romans chapter 10. If you were to read Romans chapter 10, where it says, because if you believe with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord and believe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The same word. Now think about that text for a second. Romans 10, verse 5, it says, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, right? The law, that a person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith, like Bartimaeus, does not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Who's going to go get righteousness? Who, that is to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Don't go anywhere to get it. What does it say? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So look at what this man had to endure to get to Jesus. People are ignoring him and scoffing him and pushing him to the back of the line, but he cries out in faith and he is not put to shame. He's saved. He knows he can't go get it. He can't bring it up. He can't climb it an accomplishment. He must rely on Jesus. It is only Jesus who can heal him. Only Jesus who can save him. We must be like him in our faith. Your works, they're a gift to you. They're not a gift to God. They don't make you righteous. Your faith saves you. Believe the gospel. We must be like Bartimaeus in our action. We must be like Bartimaeus in our faith. And we must be like Bartimaeus in our legacy. And what does that mean? What does that mean? How does this poor, impoverished beggar have a legacy of any kind? Well, ask yourself this. How many people healed throughout the Gospels do you know their names? How many of their names do you know? It's just this guy. You don't even, it's just Peter's mom. You don't even know her name. It's just Peter's mom. Bartimaeus has a legacy. Remember, when we talk about the Gospel of Mark, it was written and distributed primarily to Christians under intense Roman persecution. They were Christians who would have been suffering immensely for the name of Christ. And this gospel was written in order to strengthen and encourage and validate their faith in the face of trials. That's what was happening. That's who was receiving this gospel. They would have heard the stories. They would have believed the gospel. They would have met the apostles. They would have been in the churches established by Paul and Peter and others. And finally, here's a recorded account of the events of the apostles, from the apostles, that they could read it and have it and pass it on. And when you have Bartimaeus's name mentioned explicitly here, it is most likely because when he immediately recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way, he stuck with it, and many people would have known about Bartimaeus. They would have gotten to this part of the Gospel of Mark. They would be like, hey, Bartimaeus is in here. Because he was a faithful member of the early church. He would have gone on to become one of those who was willing to die in order to tell the world about Jesus. He would have been one of those ones that Jesus was revealed to after the resurrection, possibly present when Jesus told the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Brothers and sisters, if you have thrown off your cloak and sprang up to follow Jesus, and if you have become like the child and like the blind beggar in your total dependence on Christ through faith, then you must also take up the task of following him on the way, which means putting to death every sin, and it means telling everyone about him. As Jesus commanded the disciples to take up their cross and follow him, so you must take up your cross and follow him on the way. You must become last and servant of all. You must be recognized among the disciples as one who is healed and who now proclaims Christ. Your life towards other Christians is one that they recognize as committed to the ways of Jesus. Your life towards non-Christians is the same. They need to know that you have been healed by Jesus and that you follow him. Now ask yourself, do they know that? Do the unbelievers in your life know that you have been healed by Christ and that you follow him? Have you told them about Jesus? Have you invited them to church? Have you told them how much he has done for you? We must be like Bartimaeus in his action, in our faith, and in our legacy. I just want to close by reaffirming the why. Why do we want to be like Bartimaeus? And I think it's pretty obvious. When I say it, I think you'll be like, yeah, that's pretty obvious. Why do we want to be like Bartimaeus? Because Jesus loves you. And he is filled with compassion. Maybe when you read this text, you're struck by how intensely focused Jesus is on the way to the cross. Like he is dead set. And yet he's willing to stop for the blind beggar. Why? Because the cross is the great emblem of his love and compassion. He loves you in your weakness, in your need, and your dependence, as we see him loving the children. He loves you in your foolishness as you cling to worthless things, like we see when Jesus, in chapter 10, verse 21, he says he looks at this rich young man and he loved him. He loves you when you're out of the way like the blind man, when you would be considered a side quest. Can't you see he's on the way to Jerusalem? Stop bothering Jesus. No, Jesus' glory is his self-sacrifice, his laying down his own life for others. And ever since the gospel-centered movement, love it, love the gospel-centered movement, we've been really slow to talk about anything other than the cosmic scale of what Jesus has accomplished at the cross. And we've been really quick to say things like, don't put your hope in healing in this life. Don't put your hope in the joy and satisfaction of things, the good gifts in this life. Don't put your hope in finding a spouse or having kids or a better job or in any of the other immense blessings that God has created for us to enjoy in this life, because the ultimate reality of the gospel is our redemption from sin. Is that true? That is 100% true. Do not put your hope in those things. But look at this story. When you look at the blind beggar's life, what was the greatest need? What was Bartimaeus' greatest need? Redemption from sin. A new heart. Reconciliation with God by the justification that was given through the blood of Christ on the cross. How is it most manifest in his life? Blindness. How is the fallenness of this world, the brokenness of mankind, the sinfulness and hopelessness of our race most apparent in Bartimaeus' life? Is it not blindness? And how does Jesus immediately manifest his salvation, his divine power, his love? By giving him sight. I'm so glad that you guys love theology. You can handle theology, dense, bigger picture doctrines. You love to focus on the cross and the deepest need of man. You don't settle for cheap, surface-level, world-focused gospel. You think in terms of eternity, and I love it. But do you know that his victory at the cross is so complete and so total that it overflows into your well-being now? Listen, I hope you hate the prosperity gospel. But do you know how much he is victorious at the cross? Do you know how complete and total his victory is now? Are you holding back prayer requests? Oh, it's just too big. It's just not the gospel. It's not the biggest need. I'm not going to ask for that. I'm not going to ask for God to save my spouse. I'm not going to ask for God to heal my sickness. I'm not going to ask for God to deliver my children from their foolishness. It's just not the gospel. I'm going to focus on the gospel. Do you see how victorious Jesus is in the cross? It overflows. It is so big. It is so much bigger than you. It is a cosmic victory. Do you think about how big it is, but the reality that he's not too busy for the beggar? Go back through the Gospel of Mark and look at how he responds to cries for help. Men ripping roofs off of homes to lower their friend. He heals them. Jairus begs for Jesus to come heal his dying daughter. He heals her. The woman who's been bleeding forever, she knows if she just touches his robe, she's going to be healed. And it works. The Syrophoenician woman, she's not even a Jew. She's called a dog, and she begs like a dog under the table, and she's healed. A blind man at Bethsaida, begging to see, and he sees again. A man who begs for help to believe that Jesus can deliver his son. Jesus heals his son. Do you know that we have a Christ who leaves the 99 for the one? He crosses the Sea of Galilee to the Gerasenes for what seems like the sole purpose of saving one demoniac. Christian, his purpose is infinitely bigger than you could ever imagine. His purpose is so much more than you. It is eternal and all-encompassing, but he sees you. He sees you. He knows your sin struggles. He knows how the fall of all of his image bearers is uniquely manifested in you. He knows where you need help and victory over sin. He knows where you need your faith strengthened. He knows your heart. He has felt the hurt that you feel. He sympathizes with you, and he is filled with love and compassion for you. It is an abundant compassion. It is a compassion that is pure and true. And here's the most important thing about the love and compassion of Jesus. Because of the mission of the cross being so much bigger than you, because of what he has accomplished, his compassion is effectual. So that's a big word, it just means effective. His compassion and love, he can do something with it. Like if someone's really hurting in my life, I can have compassion, I can sympathize. Very rarely can I do something about it to help. But because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, he can actually do something about it. He's infinitely powerful and able. He can do something about it. When you come to him and you say, I can't see, I can't pay the bills, I can't reconcile with my family, I can't fix my marriage, I can't have kids, I can't overcome this sin, he knows. He overcame the root cause of all those problems, and he loves you, and he can heal you immediately, and he will ultimately heal you on the last day. He's not just here for emotional support on your way to heaven. Does everybody understand that? He's powerful. The immediate manifestation of the fall in your life may go away, it may get worse, but you are being restored totally and perfectly and surely. And so, be like Bartimaeus. Cry out to him in all your need, your eternal needs, your earthly needs. Know that your faith has made you well, and immediately follow him on the way to the cross. He might heal you now, he might heal you later, but he loves you as much right now as he ever will, and your faith has made you well. Totally, immediately, get up and follow him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would make us like Bartimaeus in how we act, that we would cry out to you, regularly throw ourselves at your mercy, for victory over sin, for healing from sicknesses, from deliverance from all kinds of trials. I pray that you would make us like Bartimaeus in our faith, that we would know that you are the only good thing, that we would know that you are good and that you can heal, and that we cannot do anything in and of ourselves. We pray that you would make us like Bartimaeus in our legacy, that we would be known individually and as a church throughout Kahului and Maui and even all the world as those who have been healed by Christ and who follow him in the way. We pray, Father, that you would help us to know how good, how compassionate, how loving you are. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who is doubting that, by the power of your Spirit, you would just drive it away. Help them to know you are good. We pray that you would do this at least partially as we take the Lord's Supper now. We ask this in your name. Amen.